For today's call on the Charlotte Angel Connection, we wrap up our three-part series on growth companies with Rob Cummings, co-founder of DealCloud. They recently wrapped up a $5.3 million equity round late in 2015. Rob helped grow DealCloud from 2 to 17 employees over a 4.5-year period with locations in both Charlotte and New York City. DealCloud went from a spreadsheet concept to serving hundreds of M&A firms across the country with a hungry team executing a great strategy and concept. Thank you for your time today, Rob.
Thank you, William. Good to be here.
So, as I said, I'm excited about, you know, kind of getting started. We've had two really interesting companies, great companies to talk to so far. So what I want to get into is the opportunity that lies ahead for DealCloud after its latest equity round. But as part of this series, again, we've spoken to two really cool companies who want to be where DealCloud is. So let's go back and talk a little bit about how you got from where they are to where you are now. So how'd you go from, you know, a beta concept or just a concept on a spreadsheet to here?
You know, we have an interesting story in that we incubated our product inside of a Charlotte private equity firm. So DealCloud, real quick, is software for managing deal flow and investors in private equity firms and investment banking. Ben Harrison, my co-founder, and I work for Falfurious Capital, and I built a product for doing exactly what I just said, tracking deal flow and the LP investments in the fund. And as we were fundraising for our second fund, we kept hearing from prospective investors, this is a really unique product. You should think about selling it. And we looked at each other after hearing it about 8 times and said, maybe we're onto something. And the partners at Falfurious Capital supported us in basically taking the intellectual property that we had built and going out and forming DealCloud, which is what we did in 2011.
So they were pretty receptive. There wasn't an enormous amount of arm twisting or working behind anybody's back initially. I mean, it was, you know, they knew everything that was going on and were supportive.
Not only supportive, but 4 of us from Falfurious Capital at the time actually were the initial capital raise for DealCloud. We put our own. It had nothing to do with private equity money. We put our, you know, hands in our own pockets and actually capitalized the business by doing, we'll call it a friends and family round back in 2011.
Okay. So spoke with both Honeyfi and 2U Laundry, and they both have co-founders, and you've got Ben as your co-founder. How important was having Ben there to you and to the development of DealCloud?
You know, the thing is that early on, Ben had spent time in investment banking and private equity. And even though I personally had spent time in private equity, I was by no means a PE guy, so to say. I was a software guy. I've been in and around software and technology for the majority of my career. Ben brought the expertise of what the pain was if you are working at 3 in the morning as an investment banker and trying to pull together your, you know, buyers lists in the middle of the night, and how painful that was and how manual it was through spreadsheets. So he was able to take what the business pain was, and I was able to turn that into software design and subsequently build our product. So we had I was the software guy and he was the industry expert, and that worked early on.
Okay. So good point. How much of the development did you do in-house versus outsourcing initially and still today, I guess?
So we had 2 products, and that is past tense. We ended up end-of-lifing one, and that was several years ago. But, you know, the product that we still sell today was a product that I personally built. But it was in a rapid development environment where it wasn't coding, it was more customization on top of a layer.
Yeah.
And now, of course, that has grown significantly since 2011. But we did go and we built what was called DealCloud.com back in 2012. And that was a platform for socializing, basically bringing buyers and sellers together on private equity or investment banking-led deals. We initially went to India to build that because of our capital constraints.
Yeah.
We found a firm in India. They built our MVP. And then I quickly realized I had done outsourcing a couple times, and I just wanted the stability of the people. And so we ended up, or I ended up going to India and forming a wholly owned subsidiary of DealCloud. So it was called DealCloud Software Solutions Private Limited. And I hired a couple of guys. I actually hired a couple of guys away from that firm to start that company based in India. And we still have that company today. The only thing that's changed is our two lead guys, our two rock stars from there, subsequently got H-1B visas and now, you know, live in Charlotte and work out of our Charlotte office. That came about over, you know, 3 years of time, but we still have the DealCloud Software Solutions Private Limited business over in India.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. So how did you connect initially with the developers in India? Was that a company here in Charlotte that helped you outsource that, or did you do that on your own? Or
yeah, I had worked with India and done some outsourcing projects before, but in all honesty, I put an RFP out there to a couple of firms that I knew of, as well as a few others that had good reputations just on Elance at that time, and I went through a full RFP process. Actually, selected a firm in Russia. In one of the Russian states, and
yeah.
We got 3 weeks into it, and I pulled the plug real quick. It wasn't going to work.
Okay.
And so I went to the number two, and that's when I found the firm in India. We only got through MVP with that firm, though. They did a good job. They got the first release of the product out. But you know, the one thing I experienced is just a lot of job hopping, and I wanted the stability. I formed the relationship. I personally traveled to India four times.
Okay.
And really formed the relationship with the team so that they were working for DealCloud.
So you, to head back for a few minutes, you mentioned earlier that you had two products at one point in time. It started off as one, split into two, and then it's come back down to one. Is that right? How'd you manage through that? Obviously, that's three different pivots, and I'm sure there was probably 10 more in addition to that.
Yeah, so that was one major pivot. We put a lot of work into DealCloud.com. We launched it. We got 6,000 firms up and running on the platform. The lesson learned from it is we started with a freemium model. So if you think of freemium, think of LinkedIn. You and I can set up a profile on LinkedIn, and if we want to be able to see who's looked at our profile, you can sign up for the premium service. Freemium works really, in my experience, freemium worked really well in a B2C type environment like a LinkedIn. But in B2B, my lesson learned is we should have charged for our features right out of the gate. It was hard to take someone from $0 to $10 or $0 to $500.
Yeah.
You know, that conversion is a tough thing to go over. I wish we would have started out with a minimal subscription of $50. And then try to upsell people to the $500 or the $1,500 subscription. I think that's a mistake that we made. We did it because we were trying to be competitive to a couple of other players in the space that were more of pay-to-play type of vendors.
Okay.
So long story short, it was not going to keep the lights on. And then the original product that I talked about in the beginning was just crushing it. And we were selling subscriptions, annual subscriptions to private equity firms, investment banks, and then we started with specialty lending, corporate development, and we just kept continuing to go to these more and more micro verticals. And, you know, instead of selling $1,500 subscription features, you know, we're doing deals that are, you know, between $20,000 and $50,000. And of course, that's grown since then. So
yeah,
that was going to keep the lights on, and that's what took us from DealCloud as a small startup business now to a high growth business.
Absolutely. So you said earlier that you did your own kind of friends and family raise. When did you do your first, you know, your first raise outside of friends and family? What kind of raise was it? And then to kind of continue that conversation a little bit more, what did you do with those proceeds?
So we capitalized the business originally with the four individuals from Falfurious Capital. You know, one of those included Hugh McCall. So Hugh believed in this from the very beginning. Then in August of 2012, we did a formal round, and it wasn't institutional. It was high net worth individuals, you know, called angels, as well as everybody that originally invested in the business re-upped, including myself.
Okay.
And so that was, but that was a formal round, August 2012. We knew the money we raised from that round would get us to profitability. And, you know, sure enough, in 2013, we did begin turning a profit on the business and grew the business from there. You know, fast forward to last December, that's when we did our, you know, VC institutional round in December of 2015. Where we, you know, a VC actually led the round that included some high net worth individuals, but several other institutions in that round, and that raise was $5.3 million.
Was the 2012, was that a convertible note, and then your pricing got done recently in December? Is that how it worked then?
No, you know, convertible notes weren't the thing yet,
yeah.
I guess is the best. And so, you know, we did put a value on the business, and it was equity.
Okay.
It was a straight equity raise.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So it's interesting because you and I see a lot of convertible stuff now, and it's a great way to get going. You don't have to put a valuation on the business, and I think it's a nice alternative for entrepreneurs. But we didn't really explore it that deep back in August of 2012.
What in 2012? What did you do with the proceeds?
We continued building out the product, and we hired another sales guy and to complement what Ben was doing. And then, you know, there is a services component, a professional services component of what we do. It is billable. So as we grew the business, we are able to bring on professional services resources that we're going to get paid by the customer anyway because we charge a hourly rate for that. And so, but it allowed us to do a little bit of hiring ahead of and getting people trained so that they knew how to do the implementation so that when Ben and the new salesperson really started cranking on the sales side of things that we could actually execute, get customers up and running in the 6 weeks that it took to get people up and running or get firms up and running.
Yeah, smart decision. So at what point after that did you decide to have a location in New York City? And then how important is the Charlotte location for DealCloud? I mean, this is your main headquarters, right? And New York is, okay.
So, that's it's a funny story that Ben and I working together at Packard Place, and, you know, every other week he's jumping on a plane and flying up to LaGuardia. Half our prospects and now half our customers are in New York City. I mean, it is the financial capital of the world.
Yeah.
And even though there's a lot going on in Charlotte, it still pales in comparison as to the number of meetings you can get in a day or in 2 days in New York. And so Ben finally looked at me and he goes, "This is crazy. I'll just go rent an apartment up there and I'll sell the heck out of this thing." And I said, "That sounds great." He didn't sell his house. He still has a house in Charlotte, still has a car in Charlotte. But here it is, you know, 3 years later, and he's still up and, you know, living in the village up in New York. I think he likes it up there, too, so it's been kind of fun. But,
yeah,
you know, corporate headquarters is still here in Charlotte. We have a team. I was over yesterday. We have a team of about 13 people now in Charlotte, have our own office, and, you know, we'll continue to build this. If you just want to think of it at a high level, sales is pretty much headquartered up in New York,
mm-hmm.
and the delivery side and the support of the business, the operations of the business is here in Charlotte.
Okay. So you're profitable, if I heard you right. So what mm-hmm. made you decide to do a larger round back in December of last year?
Scale. It was, you know, we could keep going at the pace we were going, and we were extremely deliberate in our hiring. You know, I talked about hiring ahead of ourselves when we first did the close in 2012, but we stopped doing that. You know, we wanted to remain profitable. So as, you know, as the team was selling, we were really, really, you know, specific as to the timing when we would bring on additional professional services implementation resources. But if we really wanted to scale, we had to hire inside sales, feet on the street, and implementation team members ahead of it. You know, we needed a support practice. We need a training practice. And so in order to do that, we needed to put money on the balance sheet to actually do that. And so that's why we went out last year, right around this time is when we were completing the fundraise. We found a lead VC to do that.
Okay. What will this round allow you, or what will it allow DealCloud to do over the next couple of years? What's the next couple of year forecast?
Well, the business is all about annual recurring revenue. So all of our contracts are multi-year contracts down to year contracts. And that annual recurring revenue is what a business like DealCloud is valued on.
Yeah.
And so as we add salespeople and as we get successful customers through our implementations, that ARCV is going to grow and continue to grow. And so we are, this round is allowing us to accelerate that growth so that we can really scale this business, and that's what we're doing.
You recently stepped away from DealCloud as an employee and now serve strictly on the board. What led to that decision?
So when we did the round last year at this time, it was contemplated. Actually, let me take a step back for a second. The gentleman that is now the CEO of DealCloud is a gentleman by the name of Rick Kuschel. Rick ran iLevel, and iLevel is another software company that sold into the same space. He had a successful exit, I want to say it was April of 2015. We had befriended Rick, and he was ready to do his next thing. He could also help us with the fundraise that we were contemplating at the time, which obviously we closed in December.
Yeah.
All along, I continued to have my relationship with Falfurious Capital, and let's be honest, we never thought it would be this wildly successful.
Yeah.
And so, next thing you know, it was very successful, but it was building a successful growth business, and it was taking all my time, all Ben's time, and the employees that we had hired. So it was an opportunity to bring in Rick to run the business through the next life cycle of the business, allow me to get back to the private equity space, but still be a shareholder in the business, and I'm also on the board of directors.
Okay. So how much pressure does it bring to DealCloud with the significant raise? I mean, obviously it's a different business now than it was 5 years ago.
It is. We have our board meetings are much more formal, and we have formal financial statements that we review, and
it's no longer a back of the envelope calculation.
Yeah. And we have a budget. We put a budget in place when we closed the deal last year and said, this is what we're going to spend. And, we're spending a lot more money than we used to, but it's all by design. And it's to scale the business. And I'll tell you, we have been right on point with the budget that we put together, and we're not deviating from that plan. And, and Rick has done that before. He's gone into high growth mode and run against a budget that everybody agreed to last December. And so I wouldn't say it's a different pressure. It's managing to that budget, because if we execute on, our sales bogeys and the number of customers, that ARCV is going to continue to grow and we're going to be successful. So we as a board are laser focused on that. And then, subsequently the management team is executing against those goals.
So what made DealCloud successful? Well, I mean, go back to 2011 and 2012. How did it get off the ground? I mean, the cool thing is you started off within a business and were able to kind of spin out, and you had the support there, right? And I assume that helped some, but what else was it? Was it the right product? Was it the right drive? Was it luck? What was it?
People. That's what I would chalk it. I think it all starts with people. Ben and I we're a bit crazed, and we weren't going to fail.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, but the thing is that I described earlier that we did have a pivot with DealCloud.com, and it was tough, man. When I had to shut that down, it was a bummer.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I still remember this day when I finally told my team at the time in India, you know, we got to take the login down off of the homepage. It's just not gonna keep the lights on. But you know, our drive and our attention to detail, we were going to build a successful business. And you know, the thing is that I think what's important, especially early on, is to surround yourself with someone or people that complement your skill set. And so, you know, I had the experience, I'd run other software companies before, and, you know, I had professional services, the delivery side of the business was my thing. I had done it a number of times. Ben knew the pain of the customer, and he's a hell of a sales guy. And so the two of us just complemented each other really well. We weren't stepping on each other's toes. You know, of course, as two founders driving for something, you know, there were times when we would disagree, but yeah, we'd disagree and we'd move on and we'd get it done. And so I think it all starts with people. Now, I think we had a good and we still have a great product. The market is not huge. And I think when we were fundraising early on, we got dinged on that a little bit because there's only, you know, 5,000 private equity firms in the U.S. But, you know, I'm still convinced to this day, you know, you don't have to have, a consumer market, so to say.
Yeah.
You just have to have the best product for the market that you're serving. And that's what we believe we have.
Interesting. So looking forward kind of looking back at the equity raise from December at the same time, was this a strategic raise? Was any of it done in North Carolina? Talk a little bit about the type of raise that you did here.
So it wasn't, when you say strategic, I think you're referring to, was it, you know, bringing in investors that are, you know, going to maybe
help
make introductions?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, we did not go into the raise with that at all. We actually, going back to the 2012, some of a couple of the angels that came in on that round were strategic. They knew the industry. They knew the people in the industry. I mean, take Hugh McCall, for example. You know, he can pick up the phone and he could say, hey, take a look at DealCloud.
Yeah.
But this time around, I'll be honest, it was about the money and it was about raising $5 million. And we raised, you know, $5.3 million. That being said, Cultivation Capital is our lead investor, our lead VC. They absolutely have given us names and helped us. The other thing is Hamilton Lane is an investor in that round too. And Hamilton Lane, they control so many limited partners for private equity firms out there. And we had a conference with them, last month, and they talk about DealCloud. That goes a long way.
Yeah.
So while we didn't go out and say this is going to be a strategic raise for us, we have strategic partners in Cultivation and Hamilton Lane, no doubt.
Yeah. So from an audience perspective, we've got a fair number of people out there that think about starting a business, think about, you know, getting out of wherever they are. You know, what's words of advice on how to get started or not to get started or to jump to a young startup? I mean, what's the advice for young people and older people that are tired of where they are and looking for a change?
Yeah, you know, it goes back to what I said before. It's people, technology, and market. First of all, you know, whoever you're going to go into business with, make sure they complement your skill sets. I think that's really important, and that you absolutely trust that individual. I've heard a lot of stories about where, you know, founders just can't get along. You're not going to be able to build the business if you can't get along with your founder. Now, you're not going to really know that until you're really in the heat of battle and things aren't going well, but figure that out pretty quickly. Have a differentiating product. For us, it was the technology.
Yeah.
And then know your market. Again, you know, I had Ben who had sat in the investment banker seat, in the private equity seat. So he, you know, he can walk into sales meetings and said, I've been there. I know what your pain is. I know what you've been doing at 2 a.m. slinging spreadsheets. Here's a solution that can make that better. So those are the three things that worked for us, certainly back then and continue to do today.
So, awesome. Well, thanks so much for your time. I mean, again, you can start to pick up on signs of things that HoneyFi, 2U Laundry, and you both say, and then you can see some differentiating things that each one of y'all are doing or have done along the way. So it's been a really neat series to do, and can't thank you enough for being a part of it, especially to kind of cap it off. So thanks for your time today, Rob.
All right, thank you, William.
Really cool call with Rob. So that wraps up the three-part series on the Charlotte Angel connection of the development of a startup. We've gone through three different companies. Obviously, HoneyFi is in their beta stage. 2U Laundry just finished their seed round, and Rob just wrapped up a Series B in December of 2015. A couple of different similarities that you can see through the three different companies. Obviously, they all have co-founders, multiple co-founders as part of the team. You could also see that each one of them had a very clear identity of what they were doing from the beginning, what the get-go was. It doesn't sound like any one of them have in any way, shape, or form shied away from socializing their idea, as our previous guest, Juan Garcon, talked about. And they all tapped into the resources in their community. So really cool session. Really enjoyed it. I hope you did as well. And look forward to having you on future episodes of the Charlotte Angel Connection. Thanks so much. William Bissett is an investment advisor representative with Seacrest Blakey & Associates, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Seacrest Blakey & Associates. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Seacrest Blakey & Associates also does not offer legal or tax advice. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with the appropriate professional regarding your individual circumstance. Investments herein described may be speculative and may involve a substantial risk of loss. Interest may be offered only to persons who qualify as accredited investors under the Securities Act and a qualified purchaser as defined in Section 2A, 51A under the Company Act, or an eligible employee of the management company. There generally is no public market for the interest. Prospective investors should particularly note that many factors affect performance, including changes in market conditions and interest rates, and other economic, political, or financial developments. Past performance is not and should not be construed as indicative of future results.